School kids get their space questions answered live from space. NASA honors one of its major contractors. And the French Army takes delivery of new UAVs. This is AeroNews. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 16th, 2010. Students in elementary and middle schools across the U.S. had their questions about space answered live on Sunday by space shuttle astronauts orbiting 220 miles above the Earth. The students attend 9 NASA Explorer schools nationwide and submitted their questions to NASA via video. Shuttle pilot Terry Virts and mission specialist Catherine Heyer answered the questions on NASA TV. Any they didn't get to will be answered later by subject matter experts during an event on NASA's Digital Learning Network. The NASA Explorer Schools project establishes a 3-year partnership between NASA and schools in diverse communities to address local challenges in science, technology, and mathematics education. The goal is to bring educators, administrators, students, and families together in sustained involvement with NASA's education programs. As it prepares to hand off the low Earth orbit business to the private sector, NASA is making much of the quality and safety of its commercial contractors. The agency has announced that the winner of its 2009 George M. Lowe Award is United Space Alliance, which provides ground operations, vehicle processing, and logistics at Kennedy Space Center, as well as contractor services at other NASA facilities. CEO Richard Covey responded, quote, "This achievement would not have been possible without our employees' focus and commitment to our nation's space program. They are the reason for United Space Alliance's outstanding record of safety and quality. They, with NASA, play a critical role in the ongoing success of our nation's human space exploration program," unquote. The award for contractors actually dates back to 1985, but it got its current name in 1990 to honor George M. Lowe, NASA Deputy Administrator from 1969 to 1976, and a leader in the early development of space programs during his 27 years with the agency. EADS Defense and Security reports the delivery of 35 specially modified new unmanned DRAC systems to the French Army to enhance its capabilities in mountainous terrain. DRAC is a French acronym roughly translated as reconnaissance drone. The new batch follows a first group of 25 DRAC systems delivered to the Ministry of Defense in July of 2008. France's SME survey copter is supplying the aerial vehicle and the day and nighttime cameras. EADS is integrating the system with a special ground station and a secure high-speed digital data link with an automatic tracking function, which gives the system long-range capability even in severe weather. The little hand-launched drone can operate for up to 90 minutes at distances of up to 10 kilometers from its base. Up next on ANN, the oldest flying DC-3 will visit South Carolina. Hartsfield-Jackson Airspace Revisions may crowd out its own relievers. And has the Barefoot Bandit struck again? You're listening to AeroNews.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 16th. I'm Paul Plack. This year marks the 75th anniversary of the Douglas DC-3, and the public's going to get the chance to see a fine example on display at Greenville Downtown Airport in South Carolina next month. The recently restored flagship Detroit is an original DC-3 delivered to American Airlines in 1937. It's recently been restored to its original livery and interior decor by the Flagship Detroit Foundation, which says it holds the distinction of being the oldest flying DC-3 left in the world. Display dates in Greenville will be Sunday and Monday, March 21st and 22nd. Foundation members will answer questions from the public, and local flights will be available. Find out more in the text version of this story, dated February 15th, at aero-news.net. The recent opening of a fifth runway at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport was supposed to increase capacity, and it has, but now controllers are complaining that there's not enough Class B airspace to fit all the arrivals and departures, and especially the holds. So, the FAA is proposing to drop the floor of the Bravo by as much as 4,000 feet in some places to give controllers more options for routing airliners. That has suburban airports a little freaked out. DeKalb Peachtree and Fulton County airports are worried that compressing GA traffic into lower altitudes will be tough. The new restrictions would be especially tough on Covington Municipal. The city recently spent almost $9 million to expand the airport and says its ability to function as a reliever would be in doubt with the lower floor. A committee charged with reviewing the FAA proposals recommended keeping the floor above Covington at 8,000 feet and implementing other measures to reduce negative effects on other airports. The FAA is accepting comments through April 3rd and will hold three public briefings on February 25th at 3, 5, and 7 p.m. Eastern Time at Covington City Hall. Police are investigating what they believe may have been the fourth theft of an airplane by the Barefoot Bandit, 18-year-old Colton Harris Moore. The teen has no pilot certificate or any evidence of flight training. In the latest case, a Cirrus SR-22 was stolen from an airfield near Port Angeles, Washington, late Wednesday night last week, and was reported flying erratically. It approached the TFR boundary near the Olympics without clearance, but fell short of busting the TFR before it dropped off radar near Orcas Island Airport. The plane was found damaged by a hard landing. A nearby market was robbed late that night, and police found chalk drawings of footprints and the message "See ya" on the floor. The growing fame of the 18-year-old's alleged exploits leaves law enforcement unamused. Island County Sheriff Mark Brown offered, quote, "It should be more about the apprehension of an adult felon criminal and not so much about everything else making this person into a Robin Hood or cult hero," unquote. Investigators are trying to assemble enough evidence to link the cases, but so far, no charges have been filed. Still ahead, a filmmaker is outraged that Southwest considers him a customer of size. The Valentine's Day bar has been set really high. And there's been another restroom incursion. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Comedy filmmaker Kevin Smith has used his access to legions of followers on Twitter to take a shot at Southwest Airlines after he was asked by a flight attendant to deplane at Oakland over concerns that he was what the airline officially calls, quote, "a customer of size," unquote. What a great euphemism. In other words, too obese for a single seat. He was asked to wait for a later flight with two available adjacent seats. Smith admits he usually books two seats, but says it's for comfort and not out of necessity. He insists he was able to buckle his seatbelt and lower the armrests in his single seat. Regarding customer of size, he observes, quote, "I'm way fat, but I'm not there just yet," unquote. The response from his fans has been outrage, and Southwest apologized to him on its website and in a personal call from an airline VP. Smith has directed the movies Clerks and Chasing Amy and is the director of the new Bruce Willis film Cop Out. If you're all proud of yourself for remembering cards, flowers, or chocolates on Valentine's Day, you should know the bar has been raised. There were guys who took their sweethearts for a romantic ride above Southern California aboard the Zeppelin Eureka. Airship Ventures CEO Alexandra Hall, who started the company with her husband, says, quote, "Romance is among the most popular reasons people climb aboard Eureka. First dates, anniversaries, proposals, weddings, you name it, we've celebrated them all on board. We wanted to remind locals that whether they're popping the question, renewing vows, or just toasting the town with their sweetheart, we're here to help them make their Valentine's heart soar," unquote. And that's not just in the figurative sense. Eureka has been sporting a three-story tall red heart on its side since February 5th, and the company is promoting a photo contest for those who capture the heart floating by in the sky. The top three photos will each win a pair of tickets for a ride. By the way, among the Valentine's Day packages available were a 30-minute deal called Fun and Flirty or a 2-hour cruise called The Long-Term Commitment. And finally today, the NTSB reports that on February 7th at about 8:40 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, the pilot of a CJ-6 departing Falcon Field Airport in Mesa, Arizona, started picking up a worrisome engine vibration and decided to head back to the airport. On downwind, he reported hearing a loud bang, lost all remaining power, and started to make a 180 to land in a park. But on the way down, he saw a pedestrian walking across his intended landing area, so he banked left and landed on what was unfortunately a less unobstructed area of the park. He then hit a restroom building before he could stop the plane. The pilot was uninjured. His passenger suffered minor injuries. The NTSB is investigating and says in its preliminary report that the plane suffered substantial damage to its right wing, firewall, and forward fuselage structure. Had there been a cockpit voice recorder, the last words recorded before impact might have been technically correct. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, some background on the Quest Kodiak and the unique circumstances of its development from CEO Paul Schaller. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.